perseverance. In spite of the fact that this brother risked being thrown into a lion's den, he had a plan. He went three times. He opened his window. He turned toward Jerusalem three times a day, and he prayed. He had a plan. He practiced it, and he persevered. He didn't let anything deter him. I need somebody. Just for a second, can you come on back in with me? Come on back. Just for one second. I just need you here one second.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Few, the Humble, the Committed, which is based on Colossians 4, verse 2. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Few, the Humble, the Committed.
Who are less spiritual. For those of us who are less spiritual, like me, I got a specific plan, all right? Now, sometimes, you know, let me say this. All prayer should be spirit-led now. Okay, let me say that. All prayer should be spirit-led. But sometimes we need some helps, all right? One help that I found to be beneficial for me is the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. Which stands for adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration is where you come to the Lord and you praise Him, where you adore God, where you just sit in His presence and you worship Him, that you praise Him and you give honor and reverence and glory unto Him. And then you move into a time of confession, and that's where you confess your faults to Him, that you go to Him, you confess your sins to Him, and you ask Him to forgive you. And then the T stands for thanksgiving, where you just thank Him for the blessings that He has given you in your life, that all the good things that He's done for you. You just lift up His name and you thank Him for that. And then the S stands for supplication, where you lift up your individual requests for your family, for yourself, for missionaries, for everybody else. That's supplication, where you pray for other people. All right? Now, I put in your notes here because, once again, you know, I want people to know all that they need to know. So in the notes, it says, for more information on this plan, you can email Pastor Glaze at pwrglaze@aol.com. All right, so I know I don't have time to do a five-week teaching in this message today. But if you want, I've got this whole thing outlined and put together, and if you want information, more information on this, email me, and I will email it to you, all right? Well, Pastor Glaze, I don't have email. Well, call the church office, and we'll get it to you, all right, one way or the other, all right? The next plan, now, once again, I'm just giving three plans, and you might have your own plan. If you got your own plan, go on with your bad self, all right? Keep on it. You don't change anything. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, all right? The last plan here is the 12-step prayer plan that we've been studying on Wednesday afternoons. Now, I'll be honest with you. My plan used to be the ACTS plan. And since we've been studying this book for another time, I've moved to the 12-step prayer plan, all right? And if you'll put that prayer wheel up there, we just want to show you real quick. And if you want, here again, you can get all the information on this plan right here in our bookstore. You know, we got the book in there, very easy read. You can read it, and it will help you. You know what? I wish I had time this morning to ask people to give a testimony about how this book has changed their prayer life. All right, there's people in here. Let's do this. If this book has touched you, can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
All right, amen. See? That's what I'm talking about. It's touching lives. All right, so if you want this, I'm about being practical. I don't want to stand up here and preach and tell y'all what y'all need to be doing and not tell you how to do it, all right? So you can go get this book, and it breaks down these 12 steps of prayer and tells you how to do it. And the beautiful thing about it is that you can use all of it, or you can use half of it, or you can use a couple of things on here that you don't have to every day pray through the whole thing. He talks about that in the book. But I found this to be an effective way for people to get in the presence of God and to pray. So here's three suggestions for a prayer plan. And I pray that you have a plan. So at this point, you know, let's stop. Father, I come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray right now that as we try to encourage the members of this church to pray, Lord, I pray that every member will have some type of prayer plan. Lord, once again, even if it's a spirit-led plan where they don't have any structure or any outline before them, but they know that I'm just going to prayer today and I'm going to let the Spirit guide me during my prayer time. Lord, I ask that you would touch each and every heart, from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, that people would leave this place, Lord, challenged about their prayer life. And Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and she was telling me that she about her prayer life. And she's not a member of this church. And, you know, she might be in her 20s. And she said to me, she said, one day my pastor challenged me to pray. And ever since my pastor challenged me to pray, I've been praying for at least 20 minutes every day. And, you know, I just thought to myself, I said, wow, you tell me, just your pastor challenged you to pray? And since he challenged you, you've been praying for 20 minutes, and that's all? I said, oh, God, give me some people that got that kind of spirit. You know, that the pastor would just challenge them to pray, and then they would pray. And then I began to ask her, I said, now, did he challenge you individually, or did he challenge the congregation as a whole? And she said, well, he started out by challenging the congregation as a whole, but then he went to us individually and challenged us individually. Young lady, said that I pray for 20 minutes every day. I said, praise the Lord, just because her pastor challenged her. And so that was my prayer today. Lord, let me put a challenge out to the people of God that they would have a prayer life and that they would, first of all, have a plan. And then secondly, not only to have a plan, but then you would practice the plan. That you would practice the plan. Look what I put here. Look what I put here. It says, there comes a time when all the study about prayer comes to an end. And it's time to pray. There comes a time when all the study comes to an end. And it's time to pray. You know, I used to coach football in college. Comes a time, we used to tell the guys, practice is over. We can't go out and practice another play. We can't draw another scheme on the board. We can't put another offense up. We can't put another defense up. You know, we've done all that we can, and now it comes time to do it. It comes time to play. And so I've prayed and I've asked God to give me everything I could give you. And I tried to give you everything that he gave me to give you. And so at this point, you know, all the preparation is over and it's time to pray. And that we would be a people that's committed to prayer. A commitment to pray. That word commitment, once again, where Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer. Continue in prayer. It means grab a hold of it and don't let go. Grab a hold of it and begin to do it. If you look in your notes, I've put several people in the scriptures that didn't talk about praying, but they prayed. Look what the psalmist said. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. The psalmist was committed to pray three times a day. Daniel, the Bible says three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done all of his life. Every day, this was his habit, this was his pattern, was to pray every day. The Bible says about Jesus that his habit was to rise early in the morning, a great while before day, and to go out to a solitary place and to pray. Peter and John, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, they went up to pray at the hour of prayer, which gives us the indication that it was their customary habit to do, that they were customarily used to going up and praying. They didn't need Jesus to teach them anymore on prayer. They said in Luke chapter 11 and in Matthew chapter 6, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Jesus taught them how to pray. Jesus left, and I'm sure that he said, there's nothing more I can teach you. Now, the only thing I can tell you is to go ahead and pray. Now, just in case we think, well, you know, prayer is for these super spiritual people in the Bible. Look what I put this in your notes, and I'm going to ask that you would read along with me. Because I put this here to show you that prayer is for everyday people. George Whitefield, who rose to be a great preacher, he went to bed at 10 p.m. every night to get up at 4 a.m. to pray. John Wesley spent 2 hours in prayer every day. Martin Luther, he said, if I fail to spend 2 hours in prayer each morning, the devil gets the victory throughout the day. William Wilberforce habitually gave himself over to 3 hours of daily prayer. Samuel Rutherford got up at 3 a.m. each morning to talk with God. John Welch filled Scottish night airs with prayer. Once he remarked his day was ill spent if he could not stay 8 or 10 hours in secret solitude. Let's see, you got me there, bro, now. You got me there, now, you know. And I know what some of y'all are saying, because I was thinking the same thing. Man, don't you have a life? But that's what his life. That was his life. I mean, I don't know how he worked that in, you know, if he had a job or family or what. I don't know how he did it, but I take my hat off. You can do it and do everything else. You know, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not there. But praise God for John Welch. Susanna Wesley, who was the mother of Charles and John Wesley, also 17 other children, she prayed for at least an hour every day. And I've shared with you before that, you know, they said that she used to go into the bathroom and pull her apron up over her head. And her kids knew not to mess with her. You know, she was in there praying, they knew not to mess with her. So I said, she didn't live in the hood, does it? Didn't I tell you I was praying? She spent an hour, a mother of 19, spent an hour every day in prayer. The plan, the practice. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can do it for you. You got to do it for yourself. The practice, and then the perseverance. Turn to Daniel chapter 6, and we'll close with this. Daniel chapter 6. The plan, the practice, and the perseverance. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was a leader. He was a Jewish leader that was taken into exile into a foreign kingdom. And Daniel pleased God so much and that God gave him favor and raised him up to a place of leadership. And as a result of Daniel's leadership and the fact that he was from another country, some people got jealous and they started to hate on Daniel. And we see that in verse 4, it says, then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They tried to find something wrong with Daniel, but they couldn't. They looked high and they looked low. They put a magnifying glass over his life to search out for any wrong in his life, and they could find none. Verse 5, then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. So they're going to go in the back door. They're going to butter the king up. Okay, hey, brother king, live forever, man. You're so great, powerful, almighty. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days except thee, O king, shall be cast into a den of lions. Huh. O king, you are so great, and we want you to receive all the glory and the honor, and we want you to make a petition that if anybody prays to any other god except you, that they will be thrown into the lion's den. Verse 8, and now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it will not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which changes not, which alters not. The law of the Medes and the Persians said that once it was written that you couldn't change it, that it was a law. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he joined the rest of the people and did not pray to his God. Somebody said, where's that at? I didn't see that. All right. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did previously. Perseverance. In spite of the fact that this brother risked being thrown into a lion's den, he had a plan. He went 3 times. He opened his window. He turned toward Jerusalem 3 times a day and he prayed. He had a plan. He practiced it, and he persevered. He didn't let anything deter him. I need somebody, just for a second, can you come on back in with me? Come on back. Just for 1 second. I just need you here 1 second. He didn't let anything knock him off of his prayer. That he persevered in spite of the fact that he was going to be thrown into a lion's den. But I can hear some of us. The Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows my heart. I think that God would rather have me alive and, you know, being able to, you know, minister and you know, under the cover, you know, under the cover and in the back alley. You know, God didn't have me in a lion's den. You know, God don't really want me in a lion's den. This brother was not shaken. He was not moved off of his plan. He did not give in to the pressure. All right? He didn't give in to the pressure. And many of us, we get pressure and we give into it. Well, you know what? You know, I got to be to work at a certain time, so I don't have time. You know, I got to do this and I got to do this, and all these things are priority. But Daniel didn't give in to the pressure. They signed a law that said if you pray to any other god, you're going to be thrown into a lion's den. Look at the pressure that was there. Can you imagine the pressure? I don't know about you, but have you ever been intimidated to the point where somebody was going to take your life? That's pressure. You know, sometimes we have pressure. You know, we think, you know, the pressure that we have is, you know, when we, you know, go into the store and, you know, we got to try to figure out, and let me use my illustration, you know, again, you know, whether we want a strawberry milkshake or chocolate milkshake. That's a lot of pressure right here. I don't know if I want strawberry or chocolate. Oh, that's a lot of pressure. at the pressure this brother was under. He was going to lose his life. And he did not get knocked. He went and did the same thing that he did at any other time. He opened his window, he turned toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. My brothers and sisters, that's perseverance. That's perseverance. And God is looking for people to persevere. And not only did he persevere, but he did not get shaken from his plan. No, look, I mean, he could have altered his prayer. He could have said, look, okay, well, you know, maybe one time a day, you know, since they're going to make a big deal about it. Let me just one time. No, it says he did like he did at other times, three times a day. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to be committed to prayer, that you got to persevere. You know, there's going to be times we don't feel like praying. There's going to be times when other things are pressing in on you. There's going to be times when other things are pulling you away. But if you have to persevere. You have to keep on keeping on because you're committed. And God is looking for some committed people who would devote themselves to prayer. As I close this morning, on the back of your notes, there's a prayer commitment form. And as you look at this prayer commitment form, there's three decisions that we are looking for people to make. One of three, or maybe two or three. You might be here today, and you say, Pastor Glaze, I have a regular prayer time, and I commit to be faithful to my prayer time. If that's you, like I said, if it ain't broke, then don't fix it. Just check that box right. You know, if you don't have a pen, check it off in your mind. All right? I have a regular prayer time, and I commit. You know, as a member of this church and as a kingdom of God, I commit to be faithful to my prayer time. The second group is that I don't have a regular prayer time. And I am committing to begin to pray one day a week, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, five, six, seven, whatever. You know, if you don't have one, maybe just start out with one day a week. Say, I'm going to pray. Now, once again, some people say, man, you mean you just telling people to only pray once a week? Well, you know, man, if somebody's not doing anything at all, you got to start somewhere. Well, you know what? I don't like your plan. Well, what's your plan? I don't have a plan. Well, I like my plan better than yours. I like my plan better than yours. One day a week is better than no days a week. So if you're not praying at all, commit here today. Commit to say, I will pray. And identify the number of days a week that you'll pray. And I don't have a regular prayer time, but I'll begin to pray for how many minutes? I'm going to pray for 2 days a week, 5 minutes a day. I'm going to pray for 3 days a week, 10 minutes a day. Now, just if trying to get you doing something. Because you know what I believe? That I believe that if you start doing it, it's going to get good to you. And then you're going to find out that if you started out with one, that's not enough. And then you're going to bump it up to some more. Well, Pastor Glaze, I don't know how to. I don't already tell you, I didn't give you three plans, all right? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear anybody say, well, I don't know how. No, there's no excuse. No excuse. You got, you know, and if all else fails, give me a call. If all else fails, give me a call. But we're looking for people today. And I hope that when you walk out that door, that you have made up in your mind that you're going to take the next level in your commitment to prayer.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time as we begin a new series titled Overcoming the Lion in the Street. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, The Few, The Humble, The Committed, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request The Few, The Humble, The Committed. or program number 100613. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request The Few, The Humble, The Committed, or program number 100613. Today's teaching concludes our 15-part series on prayer. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus Radio Program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.